What is up, Janksters? It's your boy Graham, also known as HamHawks42 on the internet. And I've made a couple of videos over the last couple of days about the Lord of the Rings products, and I want to kind of address the elephant in the room with this one. Now, I've mentioned it in a couple of my other videos, but I wanted to dedicate some time to it, and that is the One of One ring. So, in this set, Wizards has decided to take a version of The One Ring, which is a card that I did a whole episode on previously, and then after filming that episode, they decided to release this, where they're going to do a serialized one-of-one printing that is actually in the Dark Tongue of Mordor. So the actual characters that are on the ring itself are the only text, other than like copyright information on the bottom, that actually appears on the card itself. So typeline, name, text box, the whole shebang. Now, mechanically, this will theoretically just be another copy of the One Ring. However, when I say serialized one of one, what I mean is in all of the products that are going to be released, there will only be one of these in existence. There's only going to be a single of this card printed. Now, the ring is often referred to as the One Ring. So the fact that they made a definitive One Ring kind of makes sense flavorfully. Neat. It also gives them an excuse to put an incredibly high, potentially high-priced lottery ticket item into collector boosters specifically to help drive sales. And it's going to work. I'm just going to say that right now. This is absolutely going to work, and it is going to drive collector booster sales. They have confirmed that this will appear in one of the collector boosters. I feel like there might be one other type of like super exclusive custom booster that it might show up in. But at the end of the day, this is only going to be in the whaliest of whale products, and somebody is going to open this in theory and then do something with it. And I gotta be honest, I'm very interested to see how that unfolds. So the reason that Magic cards are valuable on the secondary market is kind of multifaceted. There are a lot of reasons why a card can be valuable. We have older cards that are incredibly valuable because they provide a powerful gameplay mechanic. Cards like Gaia's Cradle are a great example of that. It is an incredibly unique card that is a single land that can produce an obscene amount of mana if you have a lot of creatures. Therefore, that card, even though there are thousands in existence, is highly sought after because it provides a very powerful gameplay effect. So that's one reason. That's not the reason this is going to be valuable. The reason this is going to be valuable is very similar to why things like the red neon ink Hidetsugu from Kamigawa Neon Dynasty is valuable. That card is valuable because it is very, very rare. There are only a couple dozen, maybe 100 of those in existence. And as a result, if you have one, you have something special and unique that is difficult to find. That was a special printing of this card. The Hidetsugu from Kamigawa Neon Dynasty, I can't even remember the full name of it. It's a terrible card. I even tried playing with it. It's awful. And I'm a jank brewer. I play with bad cards all the time. That card was just the unplayablest thing I have ever seen. I know that's not a word. That's how bad it is. But there being this super unique custom printing that was hyper exclusive and difficult to find made it valuable. And as a result, people are selling that right now for quite a bit of money, like a lot of money. I don't know the exact numbers, but it's a very expensive card because of how rare it is. That is purely valuable because of its collector merit. This is the one of one ring. There will only be one in existence. Therefore, there is not going to be a set market price on this card. And people will want it because it is rare. And on top of that, I think this card is something special because it is a crossover with a property that is a natural crossover point for Magic the Gathering. Magic the Gathering is a high fantasy card game about wizards and dragons. Well, Lord of the Rings is one of the best-selling book series of all times, all about wizards and dragons and dark lords and things. I know that's being hyper simplistic, but at the end of the day, there's probably a lot of crossover between MTG fans and Lord of the Rings fans. And both groups will want this card to some degree. I mean, as a fan of both franchises, I would like to own this. It's going to be a very neat thing that is going to be a cool, you know, it's a cool way to capture two of my you know, two things I really, really enjoy all on one single artifact, one single item. And in that regard, it is very unique and very special. Now, the Hidetsugu is the closest comparison to this I can come up with as far as just market value is concerned, because it's unique because it's rare. And the other ones that you can also, the other comparison that people can't help but make is Black Lotus. That is also super unique. Well, the reason that is such a valuable card is twofold. One, it's a reserveless card that will never be printed again, in theory. And so it is incredibly rare. It also provides an incredibly powerful gameplay mechanic. So it's like one of the most powerful cards they've ever printed, and they're a limited number in existence. And they're, you know, the ones that do exist are 30 years old at this point, and are, you know, if they've still survived, you know, that's anyway. So that's the value of that card. This card is valuable because it's rare. They made it rare. They made it super hyper rare, and that's the only reason this is going to be valuable. And I think this one is going to stand the test of time as a valuable piece that people will be willing to spend, you know, thousands upon thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of dollars to get their hands on this card because of this specific IP crossover. This will be very, very unique. That said, if Wizards continues to do this, these will become far less special. Now, I don't know if they're going to do serialized... Well, they're probably going to do serialized stuff moving forward. I mean, we saw it in the Obretro artifacts with Brothers War, and they've been doing it since. They also have serialized versions of Soul Ring that'll be available with this set as well, that are going to be in part of the Commander products. So they won't be tied to the core set, so they're not going to be Modern Legal or anything like that. But they will be... Like, there will be serialized versions of Soul Ring that are modeled after the various rings that were given out to the different species that Celebrimbor created. So, okay, cool. Like, that's also unique and neat and valuable because it's a good card and there are these now special limited versions of it. But when will we get to a point where a serialized version of a card is no longer relevant? Now, there is a comparison that I can't help but make. Many years ago now, on a whim, I somehow came in possession of a couple packs of, like, football cards. Okay, cool. I cracked them open, saw if there were any players I liked. I think there were one or two. But, like, for the most part, it was kind of whatever. I didn't end up using them for anything. I don't think I ended up selling them. I think that they're probably still in a box somewhere, to be honest. But one of the things that I opened in these packs of football cards was a jersey card. Which, if you're not familiar, I think it was Topps that was doing them. I could be mistaken, but it was an extra thick card that came in the pack, and concealed within it, not concealed, but like encased within the card itself, was a little strip of a player's jersey that was actually worn on the, you know, on a certain game by this player. Okay, that was kind of cool. Like, okay, so this is a little, like, I now have this little piece of history from this player. It turns out that the one little strip of jersey I had was from, like, some defensive lineman that I honestly had never heard of before for a team I didn't follow during, like, a regular season game in, like, 2014, 2015, something like that. So it was, like, an inconsequential game worn by a player who was not, you know, a superstar at the time. I mean, they're pro football players, so they're doing well for themselves. I don't mean to speak ill of this particular person by any means, but to be honest, like, I don't even remember their name to give you an idea of, like, the situation. So I did look it up, like, okay, is this card worth anything? And at the time, it was selling for, like, 20 cents, you know? And, like, this is clearly a limited thing. Like, the dude only wore one jersey that day, and you could only cut so many little strips out of it, but even so, that particular jersey on that particular day was so not noteworthy, and there were so many other jerseys that had been cut up into little, you know, into little strips and included in packs, that the one I had was just worthless. And as a result, it's probably in the bottom of a tote somewhere if I didn't literally throw it out, you know. And now the one of one ring is special enough that this will be the equivalent of that little jersey card, but it's a piece of, like, the number one from Tom Brady's jersey during one of his Super Bowl victories. You know, like, it's going to be that level where it's like, yes, this is a unique thing from a point in time that is relevant, that people will enjoy and people will look back on fondly, and as a result, it will be sought after. But I don't think these serialized cards moving forward are going to retain the kind of value and the kind of intrigue that Wizards wants. I could be proven wrong on that, but I do think that it's going to drive the price of these down. You know, like, if you have the number 420 Wormcoil engine from Brothers War, that's valuable right now because it's so rare and it's theoretically, it's theoretically one of a kind. And yes, Wormcoil Engine is a good card, but as power creep continues, Wormcoil Engine is going to become less and less valuable. It's going to become less and less playable. And by the time we have serialized versions of the cards that have power crept Wormcoil Engine out of every format, will those cards be the ones that people are chasing? And at what point in this process are collectors going to get burnt out of chasing all these things? And then the overall stock of Magic the Gathering cards as a valuable collectible goes down. That's the thing. Black Lotus is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars right now, or $50,000, or whatever it may be, depending on condition and whatnot, because Magic the Gathering is worth a lot. You know, you can have first run edition of artifact cards or Keyforge cards. In 20 years, those still probably won't be worth anything, because those games don't have that kind of cachet. And how long do we have to go? How far do we have to go before Wizards can, you know, continue to print cards that have value? I think Black Lotus will always have value because Magic has left its mark already on society as a whole. So the artifacts from Magic's history will always retain some value. Always. But at what point? Well, and same with Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings has established itself as a brand that is worth something. And as a result, these cards will continue to be valuable. I think, anyway. I think the serialized Lord of the Rings cards are going to continue to be valuable. But I don't know. This is one of those things. I'm not trying to be a doomsayer, by the way. I don't think that Magic is on any, you know, it's not dying. It's not on its way out. But I am curious, when is the market on the, like, hyper-exclusive, hyper-rare collectible cards, when is that bubble gonna burst? It may be a number of years down the road yet, but it's interesting to watch, because Wizards is gonna be pushing it here. And these are gonna sell a lot of packs. If you want rares and mythics from the Lord of the Rings sets just to play them, you're gonna be able to find them at dirt-cheap prices. That's the other thing. Singles are gonna be, like, the most affordable they've been in a very long time, because people are going to be grabbing these packs up in record numbers to try to find these super high priced or these super valuable lottery tickets, right? Like, these are the winning scratch off tickets, right? And as a result, like, a lot of those packs are going to get open, and a lot of the bulk is just going to get shoveled out into the market, and there's going to, it will exceed demand. So if you have a demand for a copy of, you know, the mythic Samwise, I have good news for you. You will probably be able to pick it up very cheaply after the market settles, after that initial wave of boosters get cracked. So keep an eye out for that. And as a Commander player myself, I'm looking forward to that. Not gonna lie. Because the game is still sweet. And I hope Magic continues to thrive. It'll be very interesting to see how the markets react to this kind of move. It's interesting. It's very interesting. So, with that, I can't wait to see how it all pans out. So, thanks so much for checking out the show. Thank you for tuning in. I do appreciate it. My name is Graham. I go by HamX42 on the internet. This is available as an audio podcast as well as over on YouTube. The audio podcast goes by the name Overthinking MTG. Thank you very much, and I'll catch you on the next one.